What is your connection to this story?
I think of it as actually luck. I was working on a completely different project, and while I was doing some research, came across a photo taken by Ed Westcott, who was the official photographer, the Department of Energy during World War II. And I saw this picture, and it really just kind of hooked me visually. It's this long room and these young women sitting on stools in front of these huge panels covered in dials and knobs and things. And it really drew me in. And so I read the caption that said, "These women, many of them recent high school graduates from rural Tennessee, were enriching fuel for the very first atomic bomb, only they didn't know that at the time." And I thought, I know almost nothing about this story. So I started looking a little bit more into the story of these young women and their role in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and Oak Ridge's role in World War II.
And most of them, you say, were from rural Tennessee or all over the place?
For that particular picture, that was a picture of one of the cubicle operator control rooms in the Y-12 plant. And in that plant in particular, they needed such incredible numbers of women. They did a lot of local recruiting. So they would go out to high schools, or they would, you know, locate young women throughout the state. But at Oak Ridge in general, you did have people coming from much further afield as well.
Were any of these women scientists, or were they support staff?
There were definitely scientists at Oak Ridge, at Los Alamos, at the various sites associated with the Manhattan Project. That was not the largest percentage of women. The majority of women working on the project were in more supportive roles. However, two of the women that I feature prominently in The Girls of Atomic City, one was a statistician and another was a chemist. And there were women in other higher levels as well. But the majority were secretarial staff working in the plants, inspecting pipes, all sorts of things. Those kinds of jobs that prior to World War II really weren't readily available for women.
How did you choose the women that you featured?
That's always a really difficult part whenever you work on any project where you have taking the time to sit down with people and interview them and get their stories. At first, you just want to figure out a way to include absolutely everybody, but you really can't. It was a combination of factors. I knew that I wanted to cover as many different areas of life in Oak Ridge as possible. So for that reason, I knew I wanted to try and get women from different plants, not all from the same plant, some women who were working administratively and not working in the plants. I wanted women who were going to be married before the end of the war, women who were still going to be single by the end of the war. Another thing I took into consideration was these individuals are in their 80s and some in their 90s, how available they were going to be, what the breadth of their memory experience was. Some people have one or two very, very clear memories, but not necessarily a large volume of memories.
What were the conclusions that you came to about the experience of these women? How was it different than the experience that most of the men were having? I mean, if only one, because there were career options available that before had not been available to a lot of women. But the culture of secrecy, how everybody was sort of thrown together in this tiny little town that became a town only because of this project. How were these women affected that you think was different than the men in the area?
That's a very good question. And one of the most interesting insights I had into people's state of mind came actually from some documents in addition to interviews. I did an extensive amount of research at the National Archives in Atlanta. Now, the National Archives have regional facilities in various parts of the country. And the facility in Atlanta has all of the Atomic Energy Commission files. And among them were reports from the Oak Ridge psychiatrist, Dr. Eric Clark. And, you know, you mentioned, and you're 1,000% right, you know, this was a town that was only a town because they threw it together for the war. And when you think of a city that went from 0 to 75,000 people in under 3 years, there's a lot that is not pre-planned for. And it was March, I believe, of 1944 that Dr. Eric Clark, a psychiatrist, was brought into Oak Ridge, you know, because it is very taxing to be working on the same thing every day, but you don't know what it is, and to be told, come on, come on, we've got to hurry up, we've got this deadline to meet, and you can't talk about it, and those kinds of conversations that even married couples take for granted. Hey, honey, how is work? You know, that goes right out the window. There were a variety of reactions to life there. I mean, for some people, it was they had the best time and it was fantastic and they were living in the dorms and they were making really good money and there were all these single men and there were dances. And then for other people, it was, oh my gosh, the mud. Oh, I couldn't stand the food. Oh, and so he said you had these extremes. You had people thought it was the just the best time of their lives, and other people who, when the war was over, they were ready to go. But clearly a lot of people were happy enough to stay because Oak Ridge is still alive and kicking today.
Denise Kiernan, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.